My guest today is Professor Jane Hocking, who is an epidemiologist here at the University of Melbourne, specialising in sexual health and behaviour. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Now, you've co-authored, along with about a million other people,
a
paper for us on chlamydia and the success or otherwise of screening for chlamydia in certain age groups. The guidelines say every sexually active 16 to 29-year-old should get tested every year.
That's right.
Is that happening?
Look, we're currently testing about 12 to 13% of people within that age group. And this study was conducted in part of a larger trial where we've been looking at how we can make it easier for GPs to increase their testing rates in general practice. And we have been able to get their testing rate up into the low 20s%, so we've more than doubled it. But one of the issues that we did find in doing this when we had a closer look at the data, we noticed that about 20% of the time, so about one in five people for whom the GP had ordered a test, the patient wasn't following through and having the test. So the GP was following the guidelines, but something was stopping the patient from going through and having a test. So we decided to have a bit more of a closer look at that.
So the GP's doing all the right things?
Yep.
The patient presumably is not?
Yeah, so there's something stopping the patient from following through and having a test.
Yep.
So our study was set up so that we could collect some data on the patient and the clinic and the area for us to see if there was anything showing up in that data that was able to characterise these patients a bit more clearly.
What were the big barriers?
Well, we found a couple of factors. One, we found that men in that 16 to 29-year age group were about 40% less likely to have a test than women when it was required. We found that those aged 16 to 19 might have been less likely to have a test. We also found in areas where there was increasing socioeconomic disadvantage, so poorer areas, because a lot of this was conducted in rural Australia, that they were less likely to follow through and have a test. And from more of a structural basis, we found that those clinics that did not allow for pathology collection on site, those patients attending those clinics were less likely to have a test when the GP ordered it.
So basically, if it's so convenient that they can't really avoid it, they'll do it.
Yeah, essentially, yes.
Okay. If 16 to 19-year-olds are less likely to follow through, and poorer people are less likely to follow through, aren't they the two really high-risk groups for chlamydia?
Yep, that's spot on. Those are the two key risk factors for chlamydia. So while GPs are doing their best to try and test them, something within this really at-risk group for chlamydia is failing. And so we need to think about what we can do to remove some of these barriers and to also understand a bit more about why these people are not following through and having a test.
Presumably embarrassment is part of that.
Yeah, I think it's probably multifactorial. I think, you know, if a patient's rocking up to see their GP for a sore throat or something or other, and the GP says, let's do a chlamydia test, there might not always be the time for the GP to thoroughly explain it to the person.
Right.
The patients might not have as good understanding about it, and so that's possibly that lack of knowledge might stop them from having a test.
Is there a stigma with that as well?
Yeah, quite possibly too. Fear of having a positive test, not understanding what's involved in having a chlamydia test. And you know, one of the things that we didn't investigate on this was whether or not people understood about the cost charging implications of a test. So fear of knowing whether or not I'm going to get stung for a big expense or not might have put some of them off. And I think if you require a patient, if the doctor writes the request form, gives it to the patient, says duck off to the pathology and have the test. If you're 16, 17-year-old and they've got to walk out of their building and walk a couple of blocks down to find the pathology collection centre, that's going to be a real disincentive. So, most pathology areas do provide some courier services. So I think that making those services available would probably definitely help.
And one of the big issues seems to be if you've got a regular GP, this sort of conversation comes up naturally. It's part of your history. Do you think that's an issue here? 16 to 19-year-olds probably don't have a regular GP.
Yeah, that could be a real issue. So they often haven't built up the rapport with the GP. So I think that could definitely be a barrier.
Okay. Do you have any solutions in mind? I mean, I know it's a pretty broad brush. Obviously, build GP surgeries with a pathology lab, but...
Well, not necessarily have a pathology lab on site, but just allow them to leave specimens. If there was some way that they could, you know, incorporate into, you know, the GP gives the patient the urine plot, possibly in a covered bag or so it doesn't look obvious, just that sort of thing.
Yep.
If the minute the patient leaves the consultation, if there was some kind of setup either with a receptionist or a practice nurse to know, oh, that person was prescribed a test, we need to make sure that they have it before they leave, that type of thing. I think there are other barriers, you know, the age-old barriers that make it so hard for GPs these days. You know, they've got increasing workload, lack mm-hmm. of time,
yep.
education of the patient. So those other sort of bigger picture items to try and inform people better about the need for a chlamydia test, but also to make it a bit easier for the GP to get that, explain the informed consent.
Are you happy with the level of education GPs have got on this? Are they aware enough now that they
I
have to be asking?
I think when
this?
We in accept what we've found, the younger GPs coming in, they have much better knowledge
yep.
than in the, you know, I've been working in chlamydia field for probably getting on for a decade now. And yeah, there's definitely improving levels of knowledge. And I think we also know that female GPs tend to have much better testers than male GPs. And I think that's possibly because they get a lot of the obstetric,
yeah.
gynecological, sexual health type of thing. So it's easier for them. So I think, you know, there is always a need for improved education, but we've come a long way. I still think there's still quite a long way to come in terms of our school education mm-hmm. and people's just general awareness. They know a lot more now than they did 5-10 years ago, but we've still got a lot further to go.
What's the prevalence at the moment? Is it still on the rise? Is it?
The prevalence is probably about 4-5% in sexually mm-hmm. active young people. So, you know, 1 in 20 will have it at any point in time. And the greater the number of sex partners you have,
yep.
the higher the prevalence is.
That was the other thing I wanted to ask you. Is there a barrier in terms of partner tracking?
Yeah, now that does make it a bit difficult because
yep.
Partner notification it's stressful for the patient, the fear of having to tell their partners. It can be time consuming for the clinics and they might not always understand what's going on. In Victoria now, for example, legislation has passed that now allows for doctors to provide a patient with patient-delivered partner therapy, the treatment for azithromycin for chlamydia. So doctors now in Victoria can give their patient a script or to give their partner treatment. So that's definitely improved. Now, this legislation varies a little bit from state to state.
As always.
which does make it more complicated.
Okay.
But yeah, partner notification can be a barrier. You know, there is a lot of chlamydia out there. It is the most commonly diagnosed STI, particularly among young heterosexuals. So it is a big issue. There has been a lot of work into this area the last few years, and I think things are definitely improving. This study was conducted as part of that big clinical trial, the ACCEPT trial, looking at the effectiveness of chlamydia screening. The results of this are actually due out later this year.
Okay, cool.
And this trial, we're looking at, it's an effectiveness trial with a cost effectiveness, so we will be reporting on whether or not we think there is evidence that governments should fund national chlamydia screening. So I'm going to be very interested to see these results and look at what recommendations we can make then for the future. But a lot more is happening now in terms of sexual health than was a decade ago. But mm-hmm. it's like that thing, we do need to keep it going.
Is there much controversy about a national program?
There is nationally, internationally. Chlamydia is, the one thing that I've learnt about chlamydia, the longer I work in this area, the more I realise we don't know about chlamydia. And a lot of the previous studies that were done, it appears that they overestimated the risk factor of infertility and pelvic inflammatory disease. So some of the original cost effectiveness studies have been questioned, and there've been a couple of large clinical trials of chlamydia screening, and there are some methodological limitations in those studies. They do suggest that chlamydia screening is effective at reducing pelvic inflammatory disease, but there are big methodological issues with them, and they were all only looked at a single one-off screen. Ah. So the reality is that we still don't know whether or not, if governments fund annual screening every year,
yeah.
will that lead to reduction in pelvic inflammatory disease and reduction in transmission in the population. And the ACCEPT trial is, it was, you know, 3 to 4 rounds of screening, and we are looking at PID as well as chlamydia in that. So it is hoped that this will answer those questions. Yep. But it is... it is something that is constantly debated about nationally and internationally. But Rick, I just want to say that chlamydia sure. still is, you know, it is, chlamydia testing is one of the key preventive health activities for this age group.
Yeah.
And, you know, chlamydia will definitely cause pelvic inflammatory disease in a proportion of women. So, you know, it is an issue. And so we still definitely need to keep talking about it and progress guidelines and research in this area.
Thank you for your time.
No problems. Thank you very much.